transition to the Saints offensive line to the Rams, a team that you follow very closely. This is a Super Bowl contending team. There's no question about that. They're 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're plus 200 to win the NFC West. They're plus 200 to have a wild card berth. Their win total is at 10.5. I've seen 9.5. You can use ftmbets.com, our free parlay calculator, to get the best possible odds. But when you're looking at offensive lines, and I know you said this to Elliot Chris when we were talking about offensive lines and his favorite offensive lineman, your favorite, Andrew Whitworth. This guy has been one of the better offensive linemen for a long time in the NFL, and I think Bengals fans still miss him. What do you make of the Rams offensive line and just this team overall in general?
Yeah, I think the Bengals are right to miss this man. He has obviously done wonders for the Rams offensive line, and he really is just a leader on the field, off the field. I mean, really not even just for the offensive line room, but for the entire team as a whole. You know, he's just the older guy, as they joke all the time. He's big wit. He's the old man in the club, but he really is just that leader on the field, off the field. Every single play, he's coming back telling the players, you know, what they can do. He kind of gives them little tips throughout the game, which what other offensive lineman is watching what other guys are doing and having that ability to, you know, really realize that they need that that guidance. But he's just been wonders for that offensive line, and I think that this line as a whole is going to be pretty good again this year. Pretty sad that they're going to miss one of their Cromers, but you know, Aaron Cromer left, that's my dad, but my brother is still there, Zach Cromer, and he's still crushing it, so I'll be there to support him the whole time. But they're doing good. They're gonna be very impressive again this season.
It's amazing to have your dad a part of that. I'm sure you've soaked up so much information since you were just a kid. You were probably just born into football and offensive lines. What have you learned from, like, what stands out from, you know, being around your father and him being around it all the time?
Yeah, I mean, he would come home from practices and meetings and all that. You know, they work crazy hours, so it'd be 11 o'clock at night, and he'd get us all whipped into a frenzy, teaching us how to double under and all that around the kitchen. And I'm sure our neighbors were like, what is this stampede going through our neighborhood right now? We were probably so loud. But it was just, it's so fun. It's such a blessing to be able to, you know, be around the linemen and really appreciate them. They're normally the smartest guys out in the field, along with the quarterbacks, which I think is a reason that my dad had such a great time coaching all of them up. And now my brother loves it as well, even though he's probably like 180 pounds and wouldn't be able to push around one of them. But they all respect him and listen to him. It's incredible. Obviously, we've been around it our whole lives, so I'd say we probably know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm envisioning Remember the Titans with the young girl and being in the film room with her father and how intense she was on the sidelines, you know, from that movie. And I'm sure you were the same way watching football as well. So
that was me. I think that the Saints was, I was probably around like high school age. So I was really getting passionate about it. I think the Saints fans that sat around us were probably a little terrified of me, but I would be screaming at the refs and getting into it. Finally, I realized they can't hear me. It doesn't help at all. So now I just sit back and watch, but I was definitely that little girl.
I love it. And you can see it in your video, and you're so passionate and very intelligent. I thought that was a very good first video from you, and I'm going to be looking forward to seeing some other videos from you over at ftmfantasy.com. So let's get more so this Rams team. And as I mentioned, they are Super Bowl contenders. They're just a couple of years removed from getting to the Super Bowl and losing. And, you know, a lot of people want to take shots at Jared Goff. And, you know, maybe if they had Matthew Stafford under center in that Super Bowl, heck, they just needed to score like a touchdown. And maybe they would have that Super Bowl ring. But I think the biggest flaw in this team over the past couple of years has unfortunately been the quarterback play. So now they bring in Matthew Stafford, who's a veteran, only has 3 playoff games experience in his NFL career. He is unfortunately 0-3, but this is a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. When you look at this team overall, like, what does Stafford bring to them? And am I right in saying that, Brooke, that this has been the quarterback play has been the one part that has held this team back?
I would definitely say so, yes. I think this year you're going to see an accurate quarterback. I think that's something that the Rams fans have been missing for a long time. I think it's going to solve a lot of the Rams' problems. I think that he's going to be able to go out there and make connections with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. It looks like Cooper Kupp is becoming one of his favorites. They had a game-like practice yesterday, and he was connecting with Kupp almost every other play. Every time that something would go wrong, like one play, they started off the scrimmage a little rough. Stafford had to jump on a ball and save it before the defense got to it. Next play, he airs it out to Kupp in the back of the end zone. So I think we're going to see a lot of connection there. Woods, obviously, is going to be solid out there. I actually drafted him in our FTN, our first fantasy draft that we had before, of course, this last practice yesterday where Kupp definitely was shining. So kind of wish I would have done the opposite there now. But I think the Rams fans are going to be pretty pumped about Stafford. I think he's going to bring a lot to the table, and definitely that accuracy that I am so happy to see. I am so, so happy to see.
And you should be, and Rams fans should be as well. I mean, Matthew Stafford is an absolute baller, and some of the things that he has done over the past couple of years playing on a very bad Detroit Lions team has been very impressive, and he's been doing it through like injuries that have popped up. And again, a bad football team where I think some people and quarterbacks would say, you know what, I'm not 100%, I'm going to sit this one out. And Stafford just doesn't seem like that guy. He always just powers through absolutely everything. That's what I wanted to talk to you about, those two wide receivers and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. They're both tremendous. They're both guys that, like, Robert Woods, wide receiver 12 last year, wide receiver 13 in drafts. Cooper Kupp was wide receiver 26, but 16 overall in drafts. And Brooke, I look at their numbers and they're basically identical, like 129 targets for Woods, 124 for Kupp, both of them 90 plus catches. Their air yards, basically the same, 23% to 21% target share, 23% to 22%. The only difference I think between the two was that Robert Woods found the end zone just a little bit more last season, but Cooper Kupp, as you know, that was Jared Goff's guy for the first few years. He was always the guy that Goff would look to in the red zone. I think they're both strong targets. I was going to ask you which one you thought would have the better season, and I think you're feeling Cooper Kupp, and I think I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that our offense has always been kind of about, you know, getting the ball spread out. So getting it to different running backs, getting it to different receivers, spreading it out to the tight ends. Our offense has always really been focused on that. So I think that's why you see a lot of the numbers being very similar. I think in the beginning, Cooper Kupp was the go-to guy for Jared Goff. He got that injury, and I think that's when Robert Woods really did shine. And along with Tyler Higbee, who I don't think gets as much credit as he deserves, because he makes those big plays. He comes up the middle and just like yesterday, grabs it right in the center of the end zone. So I think that we're going to see a lot of Cooper Kupp this year. I think that we'll also see a lot of Woods, but I think that Kupp is going to be that go-to guy again when we definitely need it.
Yeah, inside the red zone, right? He's been just a red zone target hog over the past couple of years. Stafford has a history of throwing the football inside the red zone, but he also hasn't had a lot of great running backs to work with. I think there was like a 7-year span where he didn't even have a running back that could get 100 yards from him. I believe Reggie Bush broke like a long streak. I don't know it off the top of my head, but he just hasn't had great running backs. And the first thing I thought of when he went there was, oh no, he lost Cam Akers. My goodness, this is just bad luck again for Stafford. But they bring in Sony Michel, so we'll take a quick break, and I want to get your thoughts on that backfield. And I also want to talk about this division because I think it's not only maybe the best division in football, it may be one of the best in sports and the toughest in sports. There are a lot of good teams inside this division. So keep her locked. We'll continue this conversation with Brooke Cromer. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, powered by FTN. Chris Meany and Brooke Cromer here with you. Brooke Cromer, we keep it simple for you on Twitter. It's just our names.
So,
give Brooke a follow on Twitter. She's going to be doing some FTN fantasy videos for us. Already one up right now talking about the trenches and offensive lines, and highlighting the New Orleans Saints, who, as Brooke mentioned, are in the news as they named Jameis Winston their week one starter against the Carolina Panthers. And we talked about how that benefits Alvin Kamara earlier. We are talking about the Los Angeles Rams, a true Super Bowl contender in my mind last year, number one defense in all of football. They start week one at home Monday night against the Chicago Bears, and it won't be Justin Fields. And I think that's a break for Fields, honestly. It's a vicious defense. So good luck, Andy Dalton. But before we get into the running backs, because Brooke, you and I were chatting last week, and I said, oh, you got to come on. We have to talk Daryl Henderson, because we both, and I'm speaking for you, but I like Daryl Henderson. I like him overall as a running back. And last year, comparing him to Cam Akers, like he had fewer rushing attempts, but more yards. He was right there and avoiding tackles. Overall, he led the team in red zone rushing attempts, which I think is very valuable in fantasy. It's all about volume and opportunity, and most of the touchdowns that occur in the NFL are inside the red zone. But before we get to those running backs, like, what's the one team that you are worried about inside the division? Because it is a really good division. You got Seattle there. San Fran is healthy. They drafted Trey Lance. And Arizona, who not a lot of people talk about, it's a pretty good-looking team as well. What's the one team that scares you inside this division?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Seattle here. Russell Wilson, I'm never doubting him. I would not want him to have the ball with 2 minutes left to go if they're three down. So I'm going to go with Seattle. You know, Shane Waldron's now over there as their offensive coordinator. He was our offensive coordinator for years. So I kind of think that he knows how we run things. And, you know, not much has changed. So and he spreads out the ball a lot, and they have a lot of good weapons. So I think that they're going to be tough this year. You know, San Francisco, not really sure how I'm feeling about them with this quarterback situation going on. I'm not a crazy Garoppolo fan. And so I don't know what they're going to do there. But I think, you know, having with the Cardinals, having DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, my Aggie, Christian Kirk, they've got some weapons. And Kyler Murray is probably one of my favorite quarterbacks. He just gets out there and runs, and I just love watching him. If he can break free, that is one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch run. That little kid, he can, like, it looks like he's like rubber. Like, he just bends this way and you're not touching him. So it's a good division, which kind of stresses me out. And I feel like it has been ever since the Rams have, you know, moved to LA and my dad went to the Rams. I'm like, why is this division good all of a sudden? So it's been a struggle. But, you know, I think with the Rams, you know, mainly Sean McVay, he kind of knows that this is kind of now or never for him. He has to win the Super Bowl this year, I think, with bringing in Matthew Stafford and getting rid of Goff. I just think that if he doesn't get to that top NFC West championship, then he better get to the NFC championship, and he better win it this time, because he's got a lot weighing on him to show that it was Goff and it wasn't him, you know, that was causing us from not getting that win when it mattered most.
Absolutely. And I love Sean McVay. I could just listen to this guy talk forever. When he breaks down a play, there's one video where he broke down a play when he was with Washington. I think it was Jordan Reed, when one of the guys just asked him the question, and he just, you know, it was X game, second quarter, second and 14, you're down 7. He's like, yeah, I know the play. And he yep. just bring, and it's just like, my goodness, this guy is just an absolute offensive genius. And I think what you said is, I hold a lot of truth to it with Shane Waldron leaving the Rams and going to Seattle. And you hear Tyler Lockett talk about the freedom that the offense is going to have, especially for wide receivers and DK Metcalf. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a different offense. And yeah, learning from Sean McVay, who doesn't have a lot of history or experience calling plays in the NFL, but I'm sure he's learned a thing or two from Sean McVay. I'm excited about this Rams team. I like them to get to the Super Bowl, 7-1 to win the NFC overall. I think they're very strong. Obviously the defense is very, very strong. They can generate pressure. They can get after the quarterback. They're really good against the run, and they're really good against the pass. I just think the only thing that has held them back has been the quarterback play. So we already really talked about Matthew Stafford, but 16.3 fantasy points per game last season, the second lowest mark since his rookie season, and the passing yards was the third fewest he's ever had, not counting that rookie season, because I think that's a little unfair. But I think going to LA with a genius like Sean McVay and those two stud wideouts we've already talked about, I think the sky's the limit for Matthew Stafford. Let's talk about this backfield. So we were going to give a lot of love to Daryl Henderson a week ago today, and now they go ahead and they acquire Sony Michel and get some depth there. You mentioned win now. This is a team that has given up a lot of draft capital over the past few years. It does seem like they are all in to win it right now. They didn't give up a ton to acquire Sony Michel, but I feel like they're going to use him. Is this going to be a split? Do you feel like a 50-50 split? Do you think Michel could overtake it? Is he just there to, you know, come in and ease the workload away from Daryl Henderson? Like, how do you think that this backfield plays out?
I think it's going to be split. I think definitely they're going to spread the ball out. You know, the Sony Michel is a great add-on. He has a lot of experience. He has big game experience, which a lot of the Rams players, you know, we played in a Super Bowl, but not much playing. It was pretty rough. So I think we're gaining a lot of experience with Sony Michel, and I think that he's gonna definitely take some of the workload. But with Henderson back there, you know, he can push through a line. He can push through a defensive line. So I think we're gonna see that a lot as well. And then when we can open up holes for Sony, I think it's going to be great. But I think definitely, you know, for if you're picking either of them on fantasy, I think either of them are going to probably split time. So I wouldn't rely on them very heavily for your running back position.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant now to draft Henderson just because of, you know, I actually do have some respect for Sony Michel. I know a lot of people will just want to take shots at him, but you know, last year in a small sample, he was really good. He's been a beast inside the red zone. He can catch out of the backfield. I think it's a good get. And you need to have multiple running backs to make a legit run. You just don't want to give – there's not a lot of bell cow backs getting, you know, 25-plus touches a game. And I think just keeping Henderson fresh and having the 1-2 punch, I think it's a strong move for the Rams. So I like the get. I think it's great. Before we switch gears and talk some of your draft day targets or some players that you drafted in the FTN – draft that we had this week. Is there a sleeper in this offense? Like everyone just talks about Kupp and Woods. Like, can we get excited about DeSean Jackson? There were some reports earlier that Stafford was airing it out to him. And in Detroit, he was fourth in terms of ADOT. Like this guy was pushing the ball down the field where Kupp and Woods really aren't that guy. Like, could it be Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell maybe? Is there a sleeper in this offense that I think people should keep their eye on?
You know, I think the fun thing about our offense is exactly what we've been talking about, that they do spread the ball out. So I think some of these younger guys are going to get a lot of touches and they're going to get some bigger points, some major points. I think Van Jefferson seems to be, you know, continuing his streak as a solid player on this offense. One of the lingering questions for the Rams on offense will be the target distribution between Jefferson and DeSean Jackson as a third and fourth wide receivers. But, you know, if Jefferson can play a significant role this season, LA should be able to manage Jackson's play time and kind of give him some rest. So I think Van Jefferson, he's been a really solid sleeper for the Rams in the last couple of seasons. I just feel like you're always like, wait, where'd this guy come from? But, you know, he learned it from his dad. His dad was great in the NFL, just like him. And I think Van is definitely following in his footsteps. So I think Van Jefferson is definitely one to watch.
I love it. You're speaking to me. I got some Van Jefferson shares in some deeper leagues, and I think he's somebody that we'll probably talk about quite a bit in DFS. I'm rooting for DeSean Jackson as an Eagles guy. I always root for him. I hope that he could stay healthy. And I think if he is healthy, he can give this offense another element. But I think Van Jefferson is certainly on the rise and somebody that I think a lot of people should keep their eye on, especially in DFS. Brooke, please hang around for one more segment. You took part in our FTN draft this past week, and you got a couple solid running backs on your squad. I wanted to touch on some of those targets. So hang around. We got one more segment with Brooke Cromer. Don't go anywhere. All right, Brooke, you took part in this draft, and you drafted some running backs, and I knew how big you were in offensive line. So I was keeping an eye on what you were doing and what running backs you were drafting. So Derrick Henry, you took is your first running back. And then J.K. Dobbins you took, and everybody comes on the show and just trashes J.K. Dobbins. Tino knows, running the show for us here today and giving me a hard time about the DeSean Jackson call. I mean, okay. DeSean Jackson's going to have a great week one, ladies and gentlemen. It will be a great week one. Will he catch a deep ball for Matthew Stafford, and that may be it. Another running back that you drafted was Ronald Jones. I feel like you were attacking running backs here with decent offensive lines. Henry, there's really not a lot to say about Derrick Henry, but I think people want to avoid him because he doesn't catch a ton of balls out of the backfield. But where did you draft there? Which is like the 7 spot or the 8 spot? Like, that's a pretty good value there to get Derrick Henry. Are you worried at all about the workload? I mean, he has roughly 800 carries in the past 2 years, but the guy's a beast. And if they scale it back a little bit, just having Julio Jones, Brooke, I think it could maybe open up a few more holes. Maybe we'll see more efficiency from Derrick Henry, which is absolutely scary.
Yeah, well, when you lead the NFL in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, in back-to-back seasons, you're going to get my pick for fantasy. So I don't care where I pick this man. He has got an incredible run-blocking offensive line. Give a shout-out to my Roger Saffold, best friend right there. So you know I love this. You know I am loving Derrick Henry. Easily, definitely my first pick. I always try and go for a running back just because I think that running backs, run game, offensive line play. That is just my bread and butter. That is my love language. So I'm sticking with them. But, you know, how can you stop a 6'3", 250-pound man either?
You can't.
So you can't. You can't. I would love to
no.
see someone try. It's pretty funny every time that they do try. So I'm always going with Derrick Henry. I love him.
So you picked, actually, I got it up here. You picked eighth spot. I wonder if you would have went Kyler before. I agree with you. I didn't really get into Kyler. This is not a lot of time, but I think he is so fun to watch. He is unbelievable. I love the double step and the head fakes that he does inside the red zone. You ended up taking Russell Wilson, and you commented in that draft that it kind of made you a little sick to take
yeah.
Russell Wilson. You go Mike Evans and then J.K. Dobbins, and then Ronald Jones was your third running back. Either or, Dobbins or Ronald Jones. Talk to me about one of those two.
You know, J.K. Dobbins has frequently been talked as a leading candidate for a breakout season. He's had a quiet training camp. So I kind of thought that this would be an interesting one to draft just because when you don't see them, I think, as much in training camp, I think that they're saving him. I think that they're keeping him a little quiet. They had a lot of movement with their offensive line this year with some injuries. So they're probably also trying to keep him not injured in the preseason and around training camp. But I have no doubt he'll have a breakout season. In his words, he is chasing perfection this year. Rushed for 805 yards, 9 touchdowns, averaged 6 yards per carry last season. So I figured that he was a good, you know, second pick running back for my league. Then I got Ronald Jones at the Bucs because he's on the Bucs. I wanted some Buccaneers players. They are fun to watch. He won a Super Bowl now, so he has that under his belt. And I just think that, you know, I think that says a lot. And then his offensive line, he's got Tristan Wirfs, one of my favorite offensive linemen. So I was excited to see all three of these guys play, which is exactly why I drafted them.
And they're all explosive. They're all very explosive. But I think Leonard Fournette, I mean, Lenny was certainly on display and he was great. But if I'm picking a running back in that Bucs backfield, it would be Ronald Jones. And I think
yeah.
as the season got on, he was a little bit more confident catching the football as well. We got to get out of here. I love the J.K. Dobbins pick. I like that you have some love for him. A lot of people are coming on this show and just trashing him because of, you
Come
know,
on.
Gus Bus Edwards. I don't know. I think what you said perfectly, they're being cautious with him and just, you know, there's no need to run him out. And what I noticed towards the end of the season, Brooke, is that after the bye, when they just got rid of Mark Ingram and he took a back seat, it was a heavy workload for J.K. Dobbins, like not 20 plus touches, but he was on the field over 50% of the snaps week in and week out. And towards the end of the season, when it mattered the most for the Ravens, it was J.K. Dobbins. It was Dobbins getting those goal line carries. He was finding success. He was catching a few balls out of the backfield, which is something he didn't really do. But maybe he'll catch a lot of them this year with everybody in Baltimore just seeming to be hurt right now. Maybe he's in for 3 or 4 targets per game. Who knows? We can't just say that it's not going to happen for him. So I love the call. I appreciate you coming on here today. Thank you so much. Welcome to the FTN fam. We're so happy to have you. And hopefully we can do this again soon and enjoy the Rams. I'm sure you're going to have a fun year cheering for that team. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll be on here anytime. I love talking football.